the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hello. And it's Tuesday.
Hi. Ciao.
It's Tuesday. It is not Monday. It's Tuesday.
That's right. And a lot of people, boy, every day felt like Saturday for a while, but it is Tuesday, as Dave said.
That's great.
September 5th. We're in the month of September, if you hadn't figured that out yet as well.
That's confusing.
And it's also the feast day of St. Teresa of Calcutta, and we're going to offer up a prayer on her behalf, one that she's written. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of you. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.
St. Teresa of Calcutta.
We all need to be shining lights of Christ.
Isn't it neat that we have a saint today, a saint that we're talking about, and everybody is observing today, and she set foot and walked around in Baton Rouge and met people.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Most definitely. Well, we have a wonderful lineup for you today, starting off at 10 after. We have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can find all of these events at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Dan Donaldson joins us. He's a vice president of the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance, and today he's talking about the upcoming Heroic Men's Summit. In 35 minutes, Michael Accaldo joins us. He is the executive director of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. He'll be giving us his monthly update. And in 48 minutes, Dr. Brian Pedraza will join Damian and David in the Baton Rouge studio today. He is the associate professor and director of theology at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, also known as FRANU. And today we're talking about his latest article and the latest issue of Joie de Vivre on the Eucharistic Revival. So looking forward to speaking more to Dr. Brian today about his wonderful article.
Okay. And weather-wise, should be really a decent day today, to say the least. Partly cloudy skies. We have a possible thundershower or shower this afternoon. Pretty much 40% is what they're projecting. High's only going to be 93, winds out of the south-southeast at 5 to 10. So it will be a pretty decent day, all things considering. And tomorrow, a lot more like today, but also a lot more sunshine, which means the high is going to be close to 97. Only a 10% chance of rain. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Covington and Mandeville, it's 77. And Homotibido, as well as La Place, it's 80 degrees. Bay St. Louis reporting 81. In New Orleans, it's 82. And in Baton Rouge, our capital city for the state of Louisiana, it's the cool spot, 78 degrees. So there you go. Those are your temps. Y'all enjoyed a great Labor Day weekend, guys?
I did. And yes. I had many a times where I heard thunder, got a little sprinkle, but then that was about it. You know, nothing. But it cooled things off.
It cooled things down. Yeah.
It was nice.
Heck, dude. Yesterday afternoon, it got down to 80 at one point.
I know. A lot of folks got rain, though, which is nice. We needed that.
Keep praying for rain. Our farmers need it for sure.
Amen.
All right, folks, 5 after the hour, time to get up and get going. It's a Tuesday, a new week. Let's get started on the right foot on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 4. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue there was a man with a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet, come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In today's gospel, it is fitting that the focus is on Jesus' authority and power, much of which Jesus delegated to Peter and his successors. We are fortunate to have lived at a time when three of Peter's successors, Pope John the 23rd, Pope Paul the 6th, and Pope John Paul the 2nd, are canonized saints. Today we honor Christ in the gift of another pope, St. Gregory the Great. Gregory was raised among saints. His mother, St. Sylvia, and two aunts on his father's side are St. Tarsila and St. Emiliana. Gregory's ardent desire was to surrender his all to Jesus. It led him to enter a monastery in Rome at a young age. Later, he obtained permission from Pope Pelagius II to become a missionary to Britain with some of his fellow monks. However, Gregory was so loved by the people of Rome that they demanded that messengers be sent to recall him back to Rome. And then, in the year 590, Gregory was elected pope upon the death of Pope Pelagius. His 14-year pontificate was one of the most remarkable in the history of the Church. Gregory was the first pope to call himself Servus Servorum Dei, that is, the servant of the servants of God. As pope, he lived with great simplicity. Every evening he shared his simple meal with 12 poor people. Immediately on becoming the pope, St. Gregory called for penance and prayer. Also, at the outset of his pontificate, Gregory published his famous Liber Pastoralis Curiae, or the Book on the Office of a Bishop, in which he lays down how a bishop should fulfill his office. It's a remarkable document that should be must reading for every bishop. Then in the year 596, he selected 40 monks under the leadership of their prior, Augustine, to evangelize Britain. Their success was astounding. On Christmas Day the following year, after Augustine was consecrated the Bishop of Canterbury, the monks baptized 10,000 converts. Pope Gregory was also instrumental in the conversion of Recared, the King of Spain, whose tutor was St. Leander. Gregory was so highly esteemed that individual churches as distant as the Caucasus looked to his leadership. Pope Gregory and St. Augustine of Canterbury died in the same year, 604. Let us pray for our bishops and priests to become holy like them. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. And yes, indeed, we should always be praying for our bishops, our priests, and our deacons, and seminarians, too. Let's not forget them and all other religious. Pope Francis declared this the second year of a three-year version of the Eucharistic Revival. And would you like to learn more about the Eucharist in a book study of the Jewish roots of the Eucharist by Dr. Brant Petrie? You can join others who want to learn more starting today. That's right, this morning, this September 5th, from 9:30 to 11 at the St. John Room in Baton Rouge at Most Blessed Sacrament. You can meet there and every Tuesday, rotating every other Tuesday, now through November 28th. If you want to learn more, you can go to ccmedia.live.
That's a heck of a book, too. So it that's nice to have a group study on that. That is neat.
Yeah.
The Blue Rose Ball benefiting St. Michael's Special School will take place at 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 16th at the Hyatt Regency in New Orleans. And so for more information and to purchase tickets, you want to visit, go ahead and Google St. Michael's Special School .com. And the websites, just go to ccmedia.live. Go to ccmedia.live. We'll have that on there, and we'll have the link where you can get the tickets for that wonderful ball.
Absolutely. Well, Most Reverend Gregory Amond, Archbishop of New Orleans, will celebrate the 2023 annual Archdiocesan Mass for Victims and Survivors of Violence on Sunday, October 15th at 11 a.m. at St. Louis Cathedral. They invite everyone in the community who has been affected by any type of violence to participate in this Mass. If you know of anyone who wants to be remembered in this Mass, you can call the Office of Marriage and Family Life of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. For more information, you can go to ccmedia.live.
And speaking of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, the Sacrament of Reconciliation is going to be available at all Catholic churches in the Archdiocese, including St. Catherine of Siena, beginning September 13th, okay, that's Friday of next week, from 5 until 6:30. Examination of conscience for youth, young adults, and as well as adults are available in the area near the reconciliation rooms if you're going to St. Catherine of Siena. If you'd like more information about confession and including examination of conscience, just go to ccmedia.live and you'll learn more there.
That is awesome. St. Alphonsus in Greenville Springs is having their adult back-to-school dance Friday Night Lights on September 15th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. There'll be great music, and it's a great way to enjoy an evening with your significant other. You can go to ccmedia.live for more info. Go dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Well, St. Rita's Catholic Church in Uptown New Orleans will have a praise and worship service on September 13th at 6 p.m. Confessions will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. For more details, you can go to ccmedia.live.
And last but not least, Theology on Tap with Father Todd Lloyd will take place at St. Alphonsus Catholic Church in Greenwell Springs on Sunday, September 17th. That's always a good evening. There's going to be dinner at 5:30. Talk will begin at 6. The topic, Holy Communion, Food for the Journey. Hey, hey, there you go. More info, go to our website. All right. It's 15 after the hour, and we're just getting started on this Tuesday morning. A happy one at that. You're listening to Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 5th. Today we celebrate St. Teresa of Calcutta. Mother Teresa was born in Macedonia in 1910 and spent a brief time in Ireland when she entered the Sisters of Loreto Convent in Dublin. Assigned to teach at the Loreto School in Calcutta, she could not escape the poverty and suffering of the multitudes all around them. Receiving permission to leave her community, Sister Teresa lived among the poor in Calcutta's slums, opening a school for poor children. She dressed in a white sari and sandals, the ordinary dress of an Indian woman. The volunteers who joined her in the work became the core of the Missionaries of Charity, the religious order she founded in 1950. As support for their work grew, services expanded to include orphans, abandoned children, alcoholics, the aged, and street people. For the next four decades, Mother Teresa worked tirelessly on behalf of the poor. In 1979, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her efforts. In later years, her health declined, and in 1997, she died. At her beatification, Pope John Paul II called Mother Teresa's life a bold proclamation of the gospel. Pope Francis canonized Mother Teresa in 2016. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour on this beautiful Tuesday morning, not Monday morning, Tuesday morning. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado, and right now our guest, Dan Donaldson. He's the Vice President of the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance, and we're going to talk about the upcoming Heroic Men's Summit. In fact, that's this weekend. Good morning, Dan.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, indeed. This is a virtual Summit. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And any man can register at heroicmen.com. It's totally free.
It's free. That's the good part. I love that. And so pretty much you register and you log on. I believe it starts like at 10 or 11 in the morning. 11 here, our time, Central Daylight Time. And you log on and enjoy, right?
Absolutely. It's this coming Saturday, September 9th. It'll have from 11 to 1 Central. And yes, it's super easy to register at heroicmen.com, and you'll get an easy-peasy registration link and even a discussion guide that you can download.
Easy-peasy is good. So this is not your first one. You've done this before, right?
Oh, absolutely. We do these every single quarter with the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance, and these are great events. We typically have three or four speakers, and we have men join us from all over the world.
Wow. Well, who do you have coming up this weekend?
So the theme of this weekend, very appropriate for Labor Day, is the Gospel of Work.
Wow.
And we have Matthew Kelly from Dynamic Catholic.
Yes.
Will be one of our speakers. And we have Andreas Widmer from the Catholic University of America. Andreas actually has produced a series, a video series called The Gospel of Work. And then we have a gentleman named Jeff Joaquin, who has an amazing journey and testimony and really a great story about work. He's been very successful in the excavating contracting business, and he'll be given talk about success versus significance. And then finally, we have Peter Blute from the Young Catholic Professionals. He's going to be doing a reflection on St. Jose Maria Escrivá.
Wow. Wow. So it sounds like the running theme here throughout the whole thing is we don't just enjoy Christ on Sundays. We're talking about involving him in our work day and throughout the entire day, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we're called to do that as Christians. We're called to go and make disciples. And that doesn't just happen on Sundays.
Right.
And a great place to do it is in the workplace, where we're called to bring Jesus into our work, into every aspect of our lives.
I love that.
And definitely into our work lives.
You know, I'm also seeing a part of this where, and this is interesting, you're saying there's a time for networking. How does that work when it's virtual? What do you do there?
It's really great. We have an online system that allows for men from all over the world that participate to meet one another and connect with one another. We have leaders of ministry to men that will literally join us from all four corners of the world. We have men that are already registered from the Philippines, from Australia, from all over the USA and Canada and beyond. But it's a great way for if you're involved in ministry to men at your parish, your diocesan, or a regional, or in your national level, join us for this. And it's a great way to network with others that are involved in leadership roles as well, so you can learn their best practices and tips and also talk about some of your challenges.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about this being bringing Christ to work and everything, but I guess we're talking really could be for everybody. You know, we have people that aren't working or are retired and such. Does this fulfill them too as well?
Oh, absolutely. If you are retired, you've become an ambassador. And you can help men like me that are still in the workforce learn from your wisdom and your sage advice and what you've learned along the way when you went through your work life. And, you know, also you can share things, hey, here's what I would have maybe done a little bit differently. And so, yeah, we want men from all walks of life, whether you're just getting in the workforce, you're in the heat of the battle, or you're retired, we would love for you to join us. This is going to be an incredible event with some amazing speakers.
Now, you've been doing how long have y'all been doing this?
5 years.
5 years. And so the mission of the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance, how did that begin? And what is overall the whole mission?
Thanks for asking. We were founded and started by an incredible group of men, Robert Tunmeyer, who was a very successful businessman in the franchising service industry. Father Larry Richards, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, Kevin O'Brien out of Milwaukee, who runs an organization called Men of Christ there, and several others, Matthew Christoph, and the list goes on. But these were men that were involved in ministry to men in their local or regional levels and saw, gosh, we really need an organization to kind of bring us all together so we're not just siloed and kind of doing our own thing, but actually allied with one another. And that's what our alliance is all about. We want to bring ministry to men together and literally put it on the map. Today in North America, only 39% of dioceses actually have active ministry to men going on. So our mission is to get ministry to men vibrant, alive, growing, and thriving in every single diocese throughout North America. And our motto is really simple. When you strengthen the man, strengthen the family. Strengthen the family, strengthen the church. Yep. Strengthen the church, transform the culture. Wow. And we do three things to do that. We put on inspiring events like the Heroic Men Summit, the Gospel of Work coming up this Saturday, September 9th. We have engaging resources like our free heroicmen.com online platform. It's also a free app. And we provide leadership coaching for men's conferences for small groups on the parish level and mentorship for men looking for guidance in their lives.
Wow, that is fantastic, and that's quite a service that y'all do. Dan, have you noticed an uptick in men's participation in their faith life, these men's groups and everything? I personally am observing this on a local level, that there seems to be more and more men being involved in their Catholic faith. Are you seeing that too?
We're seeing an explosion.
Good.
Actually.
Good.
Men are hungry.
Yeah.
Men are hungry. You know, there are a lot of nuns out there. There are a lot of young men, especially that aren't practicing their faith or haven't really been raised in the faith.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is Saint Augustine wrote this: "Their hearts are restless until they rest in You, O Lord." Mm-hmm. We are all searching. We are all in need of God, and for some folks, they just don't know it. And they're trying to fill that gap, that void, with everything else. And when they find the true answer, Jesus Christ, it answers everything. So we are absolutely seeing an explosion because men are deeply hungry and they want change in their lives. They want virtue. They want to be men of character. Boy, they want to be men of strength and valor.
Yes.
And our faith offers that.
Right. I've noticed that around here, that once something like that starts up, just word of mouth, just through the grapevine, they get more and more popular and more crowded because of the very thing that you're talking about, of the hunger for the truth and what would really be fulfilling for them. And it's something that they can actually share with each other. So this is a wonderful thing that you guys are doing here. And
thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you so much. And something jumped out at me as you just said that.
Okay.
The word of mouth aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Andrew and Philip. What did Andrew do? He said,
"That's right. Come see."
I found him.
Come see him.
Come and see.
Yeah.
And that's as easy as it is, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Just come and see. Please sign up for the Heroic Men Summit this Saturday at heroicmen.com. And don't just do it yourself. Invite another friend
that's,
to join with you.
That's exactly
just tell them,
right.
Come and see.
Okay. So just come on over to my house. We'll log on and we'll watch it together. Is that right?
That's right.
Whatever it takes.
Get a pizza. Invite men over. There's a free discussion guide to go along with this. Don't just do this on your own, gentlemen. You can do this with another man.
This
or two
great.
Or three or five.
Or a group.
Get something going.
Very good. Very good. Well, Dan Donaldson, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Love the work that you're doing. Once again, that is this weekend, and you can go to heroicmen.com to register. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Very Thanks good. So much for having me on, and God bless you and all your listeners.
All right, Dan. God bless. How about that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it's great that something of this nature is taking place on a quarterly basis.
Quarterly. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
On an annual basis, we have something like this also in the Baton Rouge Diocese called Catholic Man Night.
We do the same thing, but with a whole lot of food and cigars and wine and a lot of fun.
It's great fellowship, right?
It is really a lot of fun. Yeah.
November 8th. So if you want something similar to what David was just talking about, but live and in person, then this is the place you want to be. It's a great evening, November 8th. It's going to be at White Oak Estate and Gardens. Our guest speaker is going to be none other than Mike Fulmer, a local business owner and businessman and supporter of the Catholic faith.
He brings Christ to work.
Oh, yes, he does. And more info, you could just go to ccmedia.live. Tickets are only $125 a man. And bring a few with you.
Oh, and they're selling. Oh, they're selling.
We're halfway there.
Yes, we're halfway there. So, okay. All right. It's the bottom of the hour on Wake Up.
Here's a CC Media Did You Know.
Does your church want to spread the word about an upcoming event? Go to ccmedia.live and click on Events and News. Then click Submit an Event. Post yours now at ccmedia.live.
It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Michael Accaldo now joins us. He is the executive director of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. And today he's going to be giving us his monthly update. Good morning, Michael. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. It's great being with you. And
it's great.
It's always... Yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
Well, it's so good to have you with us today, and I always like to jump right on in because there's so many things happening over at St. Vincent de Paul. So what can we expect? What are your needs for the month of September?
Well, certainly we're still in that heat wave, so we can continue to accept donations of bottled water. That certainly is something we're using a lot of. And certainly during the heat wave, we exhausted some of our supplies. You know, a lot of people forget that we're the largest homeless service provider in the Capital Region. We provide shelter to men, women, children, families, and families of mothers, fathers with children, parents with children, just a variety of situations of homelessness that we serve. So the heat wave certainly has taken its toll on supplies like toiletry items, soap, shampoo, razors, shaving cream. All of those items could be really utilized by our shelters to help the families and individuals that we continue to provide services through this heat wave.
Well, you're doing such a great job. It can be absolutely brutal out there, especially in this heat. So hopefully it gets cooler within the next coming days and as we get into the fall season. I wanted to get an update from you. How did the used uniform sale go for students and kids in the Baton Rouge area in need for the start of the school year?
Our free distribution of uniforms was exceptional success. Of course, it's a year-long effort in the capital area, and so we met our goal, and that means that through the course of the year, we've already helped thousands of kids, but through the course of the year, we hope to help 9,000 kids and to distribute 18,000 uniforms. So it's never too late to give to that uniform effort, and you can do so at svdpbr.org. But again, another success, and the volunteers really came together, not only just in the city of Baton Rouge, but throughout the area. One of our bigger campaigns and efforts outside the city of Baton Rouge is in Tangipahoa Parish. They did a wonderful distribution, reached a lot of children in need, but that goes for all the 12 civil parishes that we serve. So another success, and we've been doing that since 1998, and it really has made an impact in the lives of children who are truly in need.
I want to talk about your thrift store as well, kind of in downtown Baton Rouge, but that's such a wonderful way for people to go in and kind of look at a plethora of items that they can use in their homes for a fraction of the price. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the thrift shop and how we can help the St. Vincent de Paul thrift shop?
No doubt about it. A lot of people don't know that our four thrift stores throughout the Diocese of Baton Rouge, we're the only thrift store that actually gives items away free of charge, furniture,
great,
clothing, etc. And that's through our Vincentians who make home visits. And so people can easily donate. It's best if they just drop the items by any of our locations, two in Baton Rouge, one in Gonzales, and one in Hammond. And all those locations are on our website at svdpbr.org. And people can give those items, and then we're able to not only give those items away if we've made a home visit and verified the need, but we also sell those items. That produces revenue that allows us to have the thrift stores, and also when we are doing well with those sales, provide monies for our dining room that provide a meal every day of the year, our shelters that are providing shelter, or our pharmacies that's filling prescriptions for those in need.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting into that time where we start kind of dusting off the winter clothes. I know it's hot outside, so it's hard to think about winter clothes at the moment, but we're getting rid of those clothes that maybe don't fit us anymore, or, you know, clothes that we're kind of cleaning out the closet. Can people bring over those bags of used clothing that they can have for the, that you guys can have for the thrift store?
I think that's a great point, Gabby. Right now, if you see a sweater in your closet, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I don't want to put that on. So donate it to St. Vincent de Paul. You know, what a great concept. You know, I do think, although I must say, I think we're going to have maybe a cooler winter than we had last year, but that's what some of the predictions are. But still, what a great time to clean out the closet of those items that you haven't worn in 2 or 3 years and make room for maybe a new coat or a new sweater. Tomorrow I head off to the National St. Vincent de Paul meeting in St. Louis, and we'll be talking about thrift stores along with a lot of other things. And one of the things I'm involved in is a workshop on St. Vincent de Paul charitable pharmacies. And a lot of people in this area do not know that Baton Rouge is the first city to have a St. Vincent de Paul charitable pharmacy in the country.
Hmm.
We were founded in 1995, and now there are pharmacies throughout the nation that do such a fine job of providing free prescription medicine for individuals and families that need prescription medicine and can't afford them. And this year our pharmacy continues to be a success, and we're going to be a part of that workshop, just kind of sharing that with other St. Vincent de Paul groups. It's going to be Baton Rouge, Cincinnati, and Dallas who are going to be putting on this workshop, just to kind of get the word out about how other St. Vincent de Paul groups can do this type of charity, which really serves as a prescription bank for the entire area. And of course, we serve the entire 12 civil parish area of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and it's a great effort that really does make a difference in the lives of those in need.
Amazing. And, you know, we're getting into that. Well, we've already are into that school year. I know a lot of schools in the country are starting right after Labor Day. But ways for students to get service hours, they can volunteer over at St. Vincent de Paul. And it's such a rewarding experience for students. How can they get in touch with you as far as looking for volunteer opportunities and getting those service hours?
Easy. SVDPBR.org. They can go online. And I'd encourage everyone to think about doing this and doing it also as a family. We've got Thanksgiving right around the corner. Christmas is going to be here before we know it. And during those holiday periods, those are great times for family activities. And we have so many families that participate either on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving weekend. And it's a good way to do those hours, do it with mom or dad, and really kind of build community. Through the 34 years that I've been at St. Vincent de Paul, I've seen people come in at 4 and 5 years old, and now all these years later, they're almost 40 years old. You know, and some of them have been coming pretty consistently over that time, and have become regular volunteers. So it's something that doing those service hours, you really connect your faith with your action. And so we encourage all those students that have those hours to put in, come on at St. Vincent de Paul. We'd love you to be a part of our ministry.
Yes, and maybe make it a family tradition to volunteer on Thanksgiving or to help around the holidays. And like you said, Michael, it's starting. Well, it's not starting, but we're getting into that season where it is going to get chilly, and maybe start thinking about donating that coat over to St. Vincent de Paul as well. You can go to svdpbr.org for more information. Michael, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby. Great being with y'all. God bless.
All right. Definitely check them out. They have so many wonderful opportunities to volunteer and give back to the community. Dr. Brian Pedraza joins Damian and David in the Baton Rouge studio when we return from the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Colano, Gabby Smith, and David Dawson all with you, and our guest in studio, Dr. Brian Pedraza. He is associate professor and director of theology at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, better known as FRANU, here to talk about his latest article that was written in Joie de Vie, and also about, it was focusing on the Eucharistic revival. And boy, we've been touching on that for months now, if not over a year. And we really are getting into the what I call the heart of the matter, Doc. What I mean by that is it's at the church and parish level.
That's right.
And that's where it has to form fruition. We're planted the seeds. Now we've got to nurture them, right?
That's right. Yeah, thanks be to God. We are in the heart of it. So the Eucharistic revival, I'm sure as your listeners know, is a three-year process that our bishops of this country have really wanted us to undertake. The first year was really aimed at diocesan leadership, and we had some beautiful things going on at the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and Bishop Duca was really leading the charge, beginning with a Eucharistic procession around the cathedral, and then he put on holy hours for each of the deaneries and invited people to come. And now we're switching gears. We really want to get into the pews. We want to get into the parishes. And just this summer, the Eucharistic Revival Committee, which is headed up by Father Matthew Dunn here in Baton Rouge, we put on four different retreats for all of the parishes, for all of their staffs to come. I mean, from the pastor to the DRE to the maintenance person, whoever it was that wanted to come, were invited to come, and it was a day of encounter, of really encountering our Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament at Mass and in adoration and in the Scriptures, and it was a really powerful time.
Well, to have the whole parish and steeped into it, like you say, from the top to the top to everybody in the whole parish.
That's
But not the parishioners themselves, right?
Not yet.
Just, that's coming.
Yeah, because, you know, there's an old Roman adage that you can't give what you don't have. If we really want to bring these encounters to the people in the pews, we want to make sure that the staffs who are charged with this are, you might say, pouring out from a cup that gets filled up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
we
wanted to fill the cup, so to speak.
So what are you doing? What resources are available? What are you providing the church parishes so they can follow your lead as to, because what people don't may not understand, you are a member of the working group of the curriculum and formation of the USCCB getting all this put together, correct?
Right. Yeah, I was a member of a working group that was curating resources for the revival. I'm still presently part of the diocese's committee, and some excellent people have been working on things for our parishes. You know, the resources, if you want to check them out, they're at the diocesan website, so diobr.org/revival.
Okay.
And Nicole Jones, who I'm sure is a friend of Catholic Community Radio, has been doing a spectacular job of listing some resources. One of the main things that's going on right now is we're asking each parish to have a parish point person. And so this person is actually going to be communicating with the National Revival, so Bishop Cousins and his team. And Bishop Cousins has already had a few Zoom webinars to meet with these people.
Oh, wow.
You've got people on the national level who are helping them. The idea is that they might put on some Eucharistic small groups in their parishes, and they've got the Augustine Institute and their formed platform for free, giving some excellent catechetical videos that can be used in the small groups. And so those resources are already being pushed out to parish point persons. So we just need the parishes to make sure that they're signing up.
Right.
You know, we want the priest to think about, to pray about, who's the person that I think could really help light a fire in this parish, who's got a real heart for the Eucharist, and they can go from there.
Oh, well, wow. You know, I, as I was putting together my questions for you, and Eucharistic revival, ER, boy, does our country need emergency help right now in our faith. Am I right? Because our culture, I mean, when you look at Catholics, only 35-40% believing the Eucharist is actually the body and blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. That was a wake-up call. The fact that COVID hit us, that was 2 years of suffocation.
That's right.
Okay, and now we're having to come out of it, and we're seeing the end result isn't too pretty, to say the least, with our young people. So that's my concern. Is it's almost like we're back, and you think of the Old Testament with Nineveh, and maybe we should all put on sackcloth, as you reference in your article, and you know, bury our sit in ashes. Are we at that point in a modern day time?
Yeah, so you're referencing an article that I had published in Joie de Vivre, Dr. Haddad and company, doing a great job
love
with that
magazine.
Journal.
Yeah.
I think it's a real gift to this area. Yeah, so the impetus for this revival was when Bishop Barron was the head of the Evangelization and Catechesis Committee at the USCCB. Mm-hmm. There was that infamous study from the Pew Forum that basically said 31% of Catholics believe in the real presence in the
31.
Eucharist.
31. You were aiming high at 31.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, well, I was looking at a more current article from Catholic.
That's right.
Book.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Right. And then there were some, you know, as theologians do, we sort of bicker about the terminology that was used in the survey. So some friends at the McGrath Institute at the University of Notre Dame redid the study, changing the words, so to speak, to make sure, you know, let's get this right.
Okay.
And it only came back as 40.
Well, there you go.
You know? Okay. So either number, not great.
Not pretty, right?
No, you're right, either way.
So
it's
we
not
need,
great.
And so, again, give the website where they can go to get the information and resources to start with.
Sure, diobr.org/revival.
And it doesn't have to be a member of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. You could be in the Archdiocese, you could be home at Thibodeau, it doesn't matter. Go there and get some resources, get your church parish going.
That's right.
We only have about a minute left.
Sure.
So I want to touch on another project that is getting ready to get underway at FRANU. Share with us that project.
Yeah, we're super excited. We just received a $1.2 million grant to help transition the way that the faith is handed on in our local community, because as I used to be a high school teacher before I was a professor, and the parents would come to me and I would say, hey, it's really important that you share this in the home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only the support.
Right.
And they would say, but that's why I give them to you.
Yeah, they wanted you to teach them the faith.
That's right. Yes. So we're pushing for a transition that parents and caregivers would be the primary ones to hand on the faith. So we've got a lot of things that we're cooking up at the university. It's going to be called the Dominus Project. So Dominus is the Latin word for Lord, and Domus, the home. So we really want Jesus to become the Lord of our homes and our families, and for our families to become the domestic churches that they're supposed to be.
That's quite the turnaround, a frame of mind like that, but that's awesome.
We're aiming
that's
high.
The way it's supposed to be.
And how many families are you hoping to encounter?
I would hope to touch at least 300 families, but we'll see what the Lord can do, because right now I'm soliciting the prayers. We need that prayer support. So, please pray for us and the efforts that we're about to undertake.
Dr. Brian Pedraza, FRANU University, head of theology over there, doing a great job also with our diaconate program. And I know we didn't have time to touch on that, but they think highly of you. Believe me, I know a lot of deacons, and you're one of the guys at the top of the list.
So, it's a real blessing to walk with those men, and yeah, happy to be here with our friends at Catholic Community Radio.
Well, keep doing what you're doing, and God bless you, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow, what a fast hour this has been.
Flew by.
And focusing on Christ. That's the beauty of what we do here at Catholic Community Radio. And we also want to let you know that we tune our heart to the truth, and we hope you are as well. That's our objective each and every morning. And we're going to wrap up with another prayer from Mother Teresa. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Give us a heart as beautiful, pure, and spotless as yours, Lord. A heart like yours, so full of love and humility. May we be able to receive Jesus as the bread of life, to love him as you loved him, to serve him under the mistreated face of the poor. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.